Well, thank you again, Mr. Kennebec. Before services, Mr. Kennebec asked me, he goes, okay, so regular schedule, regular order, no surprises. I said, no. I said, but I do want to make sure that we have a congregational hymn. Get everybody on their feet before the long haul. And he got this look on his face, and he goes, is it a long one? So I honestly told him, I don't know. We'll see. Well, brethren, have you ever wondered about yourself spiritually? How are we doing in our growth? You know, as we started out, some of you were called into the church, babes in Christ. Some of us grew up in God's church, knowing, you know, the word of God from our infancy. I'm one of those. I grew up, mom was a member of God's church, and I've heard it since the very beginning. But I can tell you, I had to grow into the church. So do you ever ask yourself, how spiritually mature have you become? I believe this is a question that we all must ask ourselves. Not just once, but on a fairly regular basis. How am I growing spiritually in my walk with God, in this family? This is a question which I think we have to ask ourselves individually, but also as a church, as a congregation, as an organization. Now, some of you have been around for a very long time. How many of you go back to the 1960s? Yeah, okay. See, that was even before my time. I wasn't born until 72. But how many, do we have some in the 50s, 1950s? Oh, we do. Mr. Wilkie. The church has grown a lot since then, hasn't it? And I don't mean by numbers, but spiritually. We were pretty young spiritually back in those days. There's been a lot of growth, a lot of change. I'm sure some of you could share stories on things that we came to understand that we didn't understand then. So how have we grown spiritually? And what does that really mean? How do we evaluate if we're growing spiritually? The title to my message today is Milk and Meat. Milk and Meat. And there's a few obvious scriptures that I could turn to here, but I'm not going to start. I want to begin by turning to the book of Mark. Gospel of Mark. We'll look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And verse 17. This is the example of the rich young man, a wealthy young man who was raised in the faith, in the truth. He was Jewish. He knew God's law just like I did from infancy. But he knew that Christ was doing something new, something unique. Now, we'll look at Mark 10, verse 17. Speaking of Christ, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This is the question. How do I enter into God's kingdom? How do I receive this reward? And so Jesus said to him, I love this, he answers a question with a question. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Well, this is an example, you know, the Father. But also Christ is kind of saying who he is. This is a double answer. And so Christ answers him kind of more directly. So in order for this young man to enter the kingdom, he says, well, you know the commandments. And he doesn't even go in order. He just starts speaking some of them. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honor your father and your mother. And I don't know if this is where Christ stopped or if this was where the young man interrupted. And went, great! That's awesome! And he answered him and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. It's perfect. I got this in the bag. And it's interesting because Jesus looks upon him and says he loves him. Have you ever, as a parent or an adult, looked at a child, my little boy? I'll use him as an example because he's five and it won't bother him yet. The other day I had taken Sarah for a motorcycle ride, and Isaac was like, Daddy, I want to go for a motorcycle ride. I'm like, okay, buddy, you know, and I was like, here we go, hop up on the back. And he goes, no, I want to be on the front. And I was like, that's not the safest place. He goes, no, I want to drive. And he was like, Daddy, you know, I learned how to ride my bike. I can do this. And it's funny because it does. It's like the love just overwhelms. It's like, oh, son, I love you. Get in the back. It's like, no, you're too young. Someday Daddy will teach you how to do this, but this is where you start. You get behind Dad. Let me show you and bring you along. And I think this is in many ways how Christ looks upon this young man. And he loves him. And he's got the foundation, but he's not ready to fly yet. And Christ looks at him, loves him, and says to him, one thing you lack. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up the cross and follow me. And it says in verse 22, but he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Christ looked around, looks at his disciples, because they've witnessed this, they heard this exchange. And he says, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, well, who then can be saved? How can anybody be saved? Because obviously here was a young man who was righteous, who kept God's laws, had from his youth, he had a good reputation, and he was blessed with wealth. I think maybe he inherited, but he was probably also a good steward, wise with the money. And Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible. On our own, on our level of righteousness, at whatever degree that is, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But not with God. But with God, all things are possible. It's interesting to me that here is a young man who was not spiritually mature. He had the law. He had the Sabbath. He had the holy days. He kept God's Ten Commandments. But he was lacking in spiritual maturity. The question which Christ answered him, he could have asked him another question, but Christ knew the question that would stop him, that would impact his heart. Because, I mean, I've known the truth my whole life, right? I'm set. And God goes, not yet, my son. Not yet. Get on the back, follow me, and then you'll learn. You'll grow into this. Gaining spiritual maturity is not easy. It's hard. This is something we have to ask ourselves, because there are all these things that we have to overcome about ourselves. Even if you've been keeping God's Sabbath and his holy days for decades, we have to be growing. Now I'd like to turn to Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Paul writes, again, to the Hebrews, those who have been keeping God's Sabbath, God's laws, his holy days, who have known it their whole lives. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Okay, Christ, or Paul is speaking of Christ. In verse 10, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, speaking again of Christ, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. You're not following along anymore. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, meaning they've reached a level of maturity and growth. That is, those who by reason of use, they've been doing this, have their senses exercised, expanded, strengthened, to discern both good and evil. This speaks to spiritual maturity. Again, if you've been in the church for many years, you've heard that term, milk and meat. There have been many lessons given on this. We've been exhorted to not just need milk, but to need the meat. Do you know what the difference is? See, that's part of the vital aspect of knowing what is milk and what is meat. I had a lovely old gentleman one time. I was visiting with him, and he was quite elderly. And I said, well, what sort of things do you want? What sort of things, you know, kind of messages do you need to hear or want to hear? And again, it's someone who went back many, many decades. And he's like, the new things and talking about love, give me some meat, something I can sink my teeth into, something I haven't heard before. Some sort of prophecy or doctrine that's hard-hitting, that's going to make me really chew on it. And, you know, I was brand new in the ministry, brand new. And I'm like, this man's been diligently seeking the word of God before I was born. What am I going to teach him? And that actually brought me into a study on, well, what is meat? And what is milk? See, That's vital to understanding. You know, how many of you, again, if you were alive back in the 1980s, you remember the Wendy's commercial with the old lady who walks up to the counter and they, you know, it's at a fast food chain. And they slide this burger towards her and it's a big bun with a little puck of meat in it. And the famous slogan was, "Where's the beef? You know, where's the meat?" And we can be like that. But I think not really knowing what it is that we're looking for. Now, one of the aspects that we have to look at here is who Paul was talking to, the Hebrews. Again, Jews, just like that rich young man, having grown up always in the faith. So they had that. And then they received the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who he was, the Son of God, the Word, who came to fulfill the law, not do away with it, but to expand it, to change not one jot nor one tittle. And Paul's saying, at this point, you should be teaching. But now I have to come back and teach you again what you should have already known. We are to be students and teachers. In the book of Galatians 3, verse 24, Paul again writes, speaking of the law, Galatians 3 and verse 24, "Therefore the law was our tutor." Now, in if you are reading the King James, it says schoolmaster, "to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a teacher, a tutor, or a schoolmaster. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now again, some people will read this and go, "Great, we have Christ. We don't need, you know, that old law, that old teacher." But that's not what it means. You know, we heard about young people in our world today during the sermonette who have cast off everything they've ever been taught and are sowing seeds of destruction instead of building upon the foundation of good. Paul is not talking about doing away with the law. When you were a child, whether it was your parents who instructed you or whether you went to school and you learned that 1 + 1 = 2, that is foundational for all the understanding that comes along afterwards. You know, again, human nature, most of us, when we turned 18, graduated from high school, we're like, "That's it, we know it all. Yeah, right, I'm not under their authority anymore. I can do what I want, think what I want to think." And how many, if we cast aside the truth that we were taught, can actually stand? We can't, there's no foundation. The student is supposed to learn. You don't throw that away. This is the aspect of fulfilling the truth, fulfilling the law. We're supposed to go to school and learn the basics, just like that young man. "I have kept the law from my youth." Great. But now can you discern good from evil? You know, maybe the stuff that's not dictated in black and white in the law. Are you spiritually mature enough to discern, is this of God or is this of Satan? Or me? Is this my attitude? Is this my motivation? And I know that Mr. Ashley has taught you that in the Hebrew society in Israel, all the children went to school to learn the Torah, boys and girls, until about the age of 12. They were expected to have it memorized. Those who excelled in this went on to study all the books. And those were the ones who were given the title rabbi, teacher. But, you know, you can teach your children to memorize things, correct? You can teach them to memorize the books of the Bible. You know, that's, and you should. But does it make them a teacher? Does it make them spiritually mature? No. It's the foundation. It's the beginning. In order to be spiritually mature, we must have taken the knowledge of what is good and be able to apply it in real life. Christ does not change the law. He expands it. And we are supposed to have Christ in us, living in us, leading us to all things, all understandings. We can't just have it memorized. So what is milk, brethren? You know, as we look here in Hebrews, he says, you know, that you have come to need milk again and not solid food. Well, if you do a study on milk, if you go through the concordance, if you look up in the Hebrew dictionary, milk is actually milk. It's just milk. There's no hidden meaning. It's milk. It is something which comes from the breast, whether it is of the mother or a mother cow or a goat. It literally just means milk. Now, when I was a boy, this is again an old saying, you might hear somebody talk about, he's just milk toast. Well, that was kind of a derogatory term. Typically meaning that that person was kind of spineless. They didn't have anything to stand on. They were unassertive. And I think this really applies when so many in Christianity says, well, in order to be saved, you just have to love Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, you just have to accept Jesus into your heart. Well, really? Is that all? I think this would fall under the category of milk toast. Christ himself said, John 14 and verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. It means the law. The law, that foundation from the beginning. Hebrews 6. In verse 1, again, this is just one chapter after what we already read in Hebrews 5. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, again, this is elementary. This is where the foundation, where we all start. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation. And we shouldn't have to repeat the foundation constantly. If you've already discerned that the Sabbath day, how many sermons and sermonette messages do you need that you should be keeping the Sabbath day? Well, we need a reminder. We most definitely do. This is foundational. All of us come to a place where we're tested in it, where we have to decide, where we have to choose. Correct? All of you could be doing something else today. All of you have had to make some sort of a sacrifice. A lesson had to be learned. But once we learn it, once you've been in this way of life, the Sabbath is, it's not even a question. Of course I'm going to keep the Sabbath day. I'm sorry, I did this many years ago. It's not even a question of whether or not I'm going to keep it. It's not even a question or not of whether I'm going to observe God's holy days. Sorry, I've been there, done that. Now I want to grow in it. I don't need to have it explained to me again, over and over again. But the milk is the building block. The building block is what every Christian, every follower of Christ must understand. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. This foundation of repentance from dead works. Again, we go back to baptism. You must first believe and then repent. This repentance of dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of being fully immersed for the forgiveness of sins, washed clean, of the laying on of hands so that you might receive God's Holy Spirit, and the belief in the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, some to reward, some to condemnation. This is the foundation, brethren. And again, milk is not a bad thing. Milk is essential. You know, when a baby first nurses, whether that's a baby like all of us once were, or a baby calf, that colostrum that they receive in those first days are the building blocks to the overall health that you and I, or that baby calf, will have for the rest of our lives. Our immunity, our allergies, all these different things come through that milk. You have to have it, or we are weakened. In order for us to truly follow Christ, this is where we all start. And if we don't get it, then we will never grow truly spiritually strong, because the foundation's not there. It's very easy to get pulled away to other things. The foundation is the law. It is the Word of God. As we look at this, it says, everyone who partakes only of milk, if that's all you're focused on, like that rich young man, then you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. For we're babes. If that's all we get, then we have not spiritually matured. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, brethren, as we evaluate ourselves, we have to say, have I forgotten my foundation? Again, I grew up in the church. Grew up in the faith, just like that young man at the beginning in Mark. Some of you did too. How many times have we maybe taken it for granted? Have we started thinking maybe, well, I'm doing this thing or that, or I'm tempted over here, or I want to eat this other food, and we forget about the foundation? You know, the one thing, when you're so used to something, it's easy to take it for granted. We have to remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Fourth commandment, completely foundational to the observance and the true worship of the true God. I can tell you, in my life, there were times when I needed that milk again. I needed to remember and be brought back to that foundation. I needed to keep it holy. Not just the Sabbath day, but all of God's law. Blessings. Life. Because I've had it since I was a kid. You know, come on. It's not new to me. And the importance of it can wear off. That's okay. We're supposed to have the meat as well, all the time. We never grow out of milk. You know, some of you may be lactose intolerant. People say, when you get to a certain age, you really shouldn't drink that much milk anymore. We're supposed to have all of it. Milk and meat. The foundation and the spiritual maturity and the growth. Sometimes we need to rebuild. Now, I want to get into the meat. This is that aspect of, here's the real meal. You know, something I can sink my teeth into, as I was told. Now, I've heard that through the years referred to in different ways. Some people are very much into prophecy. You know, it's they've got it all charted and they've got it all tracked. And they're like, oh, I just love this. I just, you know, figuring it out, the days and the time and the season and when it's going to happen and what this sign means and interpreting it all. And they just get so excited about it. Other people want a really harsh and corrective kind of thing. Oh, fire and brimstone, podium pounding. Ah, you know, something that makes me jump in my seat and, ah, that's meaty. Rawr. I'm sure, again, if you've been around for a while, you've heard that, maybe even experienced it. Some people want new revelations, something that, you know, this changes everything, or some sort of new translation or understanding. Now, brethren, I would present to you that all of these things are good and useful. And they're very interesting, but they're not meat. You know, some people like to, you know, do puzzles. And it's so neat to be like, there's something really rewarding to make, put something together and see it click. Oh, looky there, you know, and I'm building a puzzle. And it's intellectually stimulating. But in the end, you just kind of, okay. Let's put it back in the box, you know. It's not rewarding in a life-altering way. It's actually not meat. And most of these things, while they can be fascinating and show us more about the nature of God, they don't really bear any fruit. Again, if you've been around for a long time, I'm sure you've seen examples of this. I remember talking with a man one time who was, he had no interest in coming to church. He just liked to be smarter than everybody else in the room and have all this information. And he liked to go to all these different ministers and churches and say, he'd ask him a question that he was pretty sure they didn't have right. And then he'd go, ha ha, you're wrong. And let me show you. And it was this intellectually stimulating and superiority thing that he just really got a kick out of. And we were having, he called me several times for these long discussions. And finally I went, you know what? You sound like you know more than everybody else. You should start your own church. Anyway, no, I don't want to do that. I was like, why not? I mean, you apparently know it more than everyone else. What good is it doing you? I mean, do your kids love you? Or have you driven them away by beating them over the head with all this, you know, Jeopardy biblical trivia? That tends to be what happens when we get caught up in all these things that we think are so meaty, and they're not. Again, you know them by their fruit. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. Of course, the church had fallen spiritually far away. And he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. You're not spiritually mature anymore. But as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. But even now you are still not able, He's like, I gave you the foundation. I gave you what you needed to grow. But you're still carnal. Verse 3, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Not as sons and daughters of God? Not attaining the stature, the fullness of Christ? Brethren, if we are supposed to be behaving like Christ, we're told in Revelations 21 that he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We're supposed to be growing mature, not as babes anymore, but as strong adults spiritually. Meat is understanding the spirit of the law. Not changing the law, but growing into the fullness of it. To understand what is physical and what is spiritual. You know, this is something that the apostles had to struggle with. You know, they were walking with Christ. They were being fed meat every day. They'd grown up with the foundation. They'd grown up with the milk. They understood that aspect of the law. And yet, remember how often they argued about things like children? No, I'm first. No, I'm first. No, I'm first. You know, we all were that way at one point when we were children. You know, I think of that, you know, Peter, Matthew 18. And Peter comes to his brother and he's like, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Because that would be, you know, like the ultimate righteousness. And Christ responds to him, no, but up to seven times 70. Meaning essentially forever. Whenever he repents, you forgive him. Now, how many times have you or your children come to you and been like, so-and-so did this to me. They were bad and they were wicked and they took my toy or my food or my cookie. When do I get a socking? You know? Mom, call down the thunder and the lightning. We've all been there when we were children and even called into the church. Spiritually, how often have you wanted to call down lightning on someone? Get them, God. We have to grow in spiritual maturity. All of us do. Christ tells them in Matthew 5 and verse 20, and he says to them, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. What? But the scribes and the Pharisees, they're the, you know, becoming rabbis, lawyers, meaning they knew the law inside and out and all the loopholes and all the stuff they added to it. They knew how to keep the law, how to keep it. But they didn't understand the spirit of the law. And Christ nailed them over that. That word meat in Hebrew is stereos. It means something solid, stiff, stable, real food, nourishment. Brethren, I present to you that what real meat is the weightier matters of the law. Something solid, something real. It is the letter of the law, but it's also the spirit of the law, because that's the hard part. The scribes and the Pharisees are great at keeping the letter of the law. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! Hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. These teeny tiny, you know, grains. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He says, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. How many times have maybe we ourselves gotten in a heated theological debate? And instead of using the word of God as the double-edged sword to rightly divide the word of truth, we start hacking each other with it. It's not spiritually mature. When I was a little boy, I loved sword fighting. And of course, we had sticks, or we had mom's curtain rods, which she got really upset about. Really, really upset. And I loved doing it, you know. Errol Flynn, you know, swords and pirates, ha ha. And it was great fun until I got my hand whacked. It was like, ah! I was like, you did that on purpose, you jerk. Smack! And it quickly dissolved into boys rolling around and, you know, in the dirt. Not very mature. Now, I want you to imagine that as children in the church, spiritually, as adults, smacking each other around and rubbing each other through the dirt over a disagreement, a conflict, a division. It could be something as simple as, I don't know, how we do potlucks, or it could be a doctrinal issue. But you're both keeping the Sabbath. These are the weightier matters of the law. You know, just a week ago, we heard about the importance of justice, of doing good. We have to do this. Justice, mercy, and faith. This is what matters. Not doing away with the foundation at all. You can't leave that undone. But we have to grow in spiritual maturity. These are the things that we can sink our teeth into. The ability to discern good and evil outside of the letter of the law. And do you know why we don't typically like to do this? Why we would rather chase down numerology in the Bible or, you know, some definition? Because it's easier. It's easier than the weightier matters of the law. It's so much easier to try and piece together a doctrinal puzzle than it is to overcome ourselves. Our own attitudes, our own weaknesses, our own sins, our own motivations. That's the hard part. That's the meat, brethren. That is what will separate the sheep from the goats on the day of judgment. It won't be the Sabbath day. It'll be whether we'd actually grown into the fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ. We can keep everything right, but if we have not love, it counts as nothing. How do we love someone who doesn't like us? Or someone we disagree with? Want a challenge? Do that one. This is becoming spiritually mature, growing in grace and knowledge and righteousness. Not changing one jot nor one tittle, but becoming truly spiritually mature, having both milk and meat.